This week, three more hostages were set free from the terror organization Hamas, where they had been treated terribly. Keith Segal, Yarden Bibas, and Ofer Calderon returned to Israel Saturday morning after 484 days in captivity, during which they were held in very difficult conditions. It's over 484 days since the brutal massacre by Hamas terrorists in Israel. During that time, Israel has attempted to rescue the hostages and destroy the Hamas terrorist organization. This has led to widespread destruction in Hamas-ruled Gaza. I would expect the UN assessment may be exaggerated. However, the Jerusalem Post reported, the UN estimates that reconstruction work in the Gaza Strip will cost $80 billion, 25 times more than after Operation Protective Edge in 2014. The particularly high cost stems from the fact that about 69% of the buildings in the Gaza Strip, more than 170,000, have been destroyed, including about 90% of the housing units. Even before reconstruction, 42 million tons of rubble created by the bombings have to be cleared. The process alone is expected to cost $1.2 billion, with the UN assessment last April estimating that treatment of the rubble will take 14 years. Out of Gaza's population of 2.3 million, 1.9 million have been displaced from their homes, including hundreds of thousands living in tents. In the infrastructure sector, in January last year, the damage was estimated at $18.5 billion, while last month the UN Humanitarian Office noted that the water supply had dropped to less than a quarter of what it was before October 7, 2023. Jezreel Valley Academic College head of the Middle East Studies program, Dr. Ido Zelkovitz, told Globes, "The use by Hamas of civilian infrastructures was very extensive. It was intended to disguise the extensive network of tunnels, which included transit and holding and attack tunnels. Some of the entrances to the shafts passed through public and civilian facilities, and of course under the homes of senior members of the movement, risking the lives of civilians living nearby. This is because any tunnel infrastructure is considered a legitimate military target under international law." According to this assessment, a large portion of the Gaza Strip is uninhabitable, and it will take years to rebuild. A staggering figure of 90% of housing units destroyed. According to the above-cited analysis, a reason for this is the Hamas terror organization's construction of tunnels underneath civilian infrastructure and, we could add, the use of civilians as human shields. How is it possible to rebuild the Gaza Strip while it is being ruled by Hamas? Who would pay for it? If Hamas continues its terror activities, will it not likely be destroyed yet again? What will happen to the population of Gaza while all this construction is taking place? Trump began accumulating wealth by making a fortune in real estate, and it has been quipped that he sees everything as a real estate deal. Trump's plan for reconstruction of the Gaza Strip involves removing a large portion of the population out of the Strip to aid the project. An opinion piece on the Israeli news website Ynet has the title, "Trump won't abandon his Gaza transfer plan." Trump's Gaza transfer plan envisions transferring a large proportion of the population of Gaza to Egypt, Jordan, or elsewhere. Trump's plan has received the cold shoulder from Egypt and Jordan, but that has apparently not deterred him. The summary to the opinion piece reads, "Donald Trump has yet to formally demand that Jordan and Egypt take in 1.5 million Palestinians, but according to Saudi sources, he remains steadfast in his plan to reshape the Middle East." In addition, the piece states that, according to a key Saudi source, Trump is determined not to let Egypt and Jordan off the hook. His vision includes the relocation of 1.5 million displaced Gazans. How long would the displaced Gazans stay in the host countries? Apparently, it would be a prolonged stay. The Ynet opinion piece says, "It is reasonable to assume that most Palestinians granted extended refuge in Jordan will never return to Gaza. If these Gazans were moved out of the territory and effectively absorbed elsewhere, it would be unique. Palestinian Arab refugees have been kept successfully as perpetual refugees and utilized as political pawns to put pressure on Israel. There is much opposition to this type of solution, so it would be interesting to see how it plays out going forward. It has now been reported that Jordan's King Abdullah II will meet with Trump at the White House on February 11th. It should be recalled that there was Jewish settlement in the Gaza area starting after the 1967 war and continuing until 2005. At that time, 17 Israeli communities were destroyed. This involved forcibly removing 8,600 Jewish residents from their homes. Their homes and livelihoods were destroyed. Shortly after that, the Hamas terror organization took control of the area. Well, what do we know from the Bible? Ultimately, we know that the Gaza Strip will be part of the Kingdom of Israel, the restored Kingdom of God. It will not be a foreign hostile entity in that day, that's certain. So at some point we can expect developments that will make this a reality. This could happen before or after the return of the Jewish Messiah. The prophet Zephaniah prophesied in the days of King Josiah, not long before the Babylonian captivity. In the first chapter, Zephaniah warned the people of the coming destruction of the kingdom because they had turned away from the God of Israel to idols. In the second chapter, the prophet turns his attention to surrounding peoples and their relation to Judah. First, upon Gaza, starting in verse 4. Secondly, upon Moab and Ammon, starting in verse 8. And finally, upon the Ethiopians and Assyria, starting in verse 12. The prophecy finishes speaking of the glorious future for the remnant of Israel, when they will be purified and pardoned of their iniquity and exalted to fame and praise throughout the world. In that glorious day of exaltation, the King of Israel, even the Lord, will be in the midst of thee. Zephaniah 2 verse 8 is worth noting regarding the reason that Moab and Ammon were judged, as its condemnation echoes down to today. Verse 8 in the ESV reads, "I have heard the taunts of Moab and the revilings of the Ammonites, how they have taunted my people and made boasts against their territory." Zephaniah 2 verses 4 to 7 foretell the destruction of the Philistine coastland. John Thomas, writing in the first volume of the book Eureka, an Exposition of the Apocalypse, in 1861, comments how this prophecy had come to pass in his section on Zephaniah. "For the Gaza coastland was a desolate and forsaken place at that time." He wrote, "The seacoast of Palestine, once so rich and flourishing in the hand of the Philistines, has become, as Zephaniah predicted, dwellings and cottages for shepherds and folds for flocks. An afflicted and poor people only is left in the midst of the land. The Philistines and Moab and Ammon and Nineveh and Cushistan, people all contemporary with the prophet, have all passed away as he foretold, and a despised remnant of his countrymen alone continue, a living monument of woe." The area of Gaza has been rebuilt since the days of John Thomas, and a people hostile to the return of the Jewish people and a society of terrorism has flourished in that place. But again, today, it has become a desolation and a ruin. John Thomas continues, "But of this remnant and their country, the prophet has recorded great and glorious things. The seacoast, says he, shall be for the house of Judah, and they shall feed thereupon. For Jehovah their Elohim shall visit them and turn away their captivity. They shall spoil Moab and Ammon and shall possess them. This change in the fortunes of the poor and afflicted remnant of Israel," the prophet shows, "is to occur at a period when Jehovah's wrath is to be let loose against the nations. Donald Trump or the United Nations or many others may have plans for a building project in Gaza, but all of them will come to naught, unless they are for the house of Judah, for it is for them that shall feed thereupon." Come back next week, God willing, to www.bibleinthenews.com as we continue to watch for the signs of Christ's return. This has been David Billington with you. Thanks for listening.